Are you or a loved one in the midst of a cancer diagnosis or bouncing back from your battle? Welcome to Thrive Through Cancer, the podcast that offers hope and healing and shares personal experiences, self-care solutions, health tips, and the support of a community of people just like you. I'm Susan Johnson, a functional nutritional therapy practitioner whose own son was diagnosed with cancer right before his third birthday. My job was to keep people healthy, to help them fight disease. So when my own son was diagnosed with this scary illness, it was so humbling. But rather than becoming a victim, I began researching. I upleveled my knowledge and my mindset, and I chose to serve others through our own cancer journey. This show is an opportunity to find and share strength through our struggles. You'll hear from health professionals, innovative thinkers, beautiful personalities, and those who have learned to live life to the fullest despite their diagnosis. We'll raise some questions, find some answers, shed a few tears, share more than a few laughs, and give each other the motivation to get through one more day every single day. So join me in this journey and let's learn to thrive through cancer together. Well, hello, friends. I am excited to be back with you today. And actually, this topic is something that when I became a practitioner about 12 years ago and opened my first private practice, it was something that I really focused on. And this is the topic of digestion. And we're going to specifically talk about an acid called hydrochloric acid that actually has everything to do with the foundation of health, because your digestive system is responsible for absorbing nutrients, but it can also inhibit the absorption, of course, of nutrients, and it can trigger disease and illness and make symptoms that you might experience while fighting cancer even worse. So we're going to talk about that today. And, you know, I want to kind of start off by just positioning you with this question. Have you ever experienced one or more of the following symptoms? Heartburn, acid reflux, gas, bloating, belching, magnesium deficiency, body aches, fibromyalgia, anemia, nausea, fatigue, headaches, easily sunburn. These are just a few symptoms that are associated with a deficiency in hydrochloric acid. So before we get any further, I just want to remind you that you can have hope in your healing, you can feel well while fighting cancer, and ultimately, you can thrive through cancer. So here's the good news. The good news is that there is a fairly simple solution that can resolve most people's symptoms that I just mentioned before, and it's to replenish your body with something that it actually creates on its own naturally. It's called hydrochloric acid, and you'll hear me say that quite a few times throughout this episode because it's really the focus is, you know, why you need more stomach acid. And when I say stomach acid, I'm referring to specifically hydrochloric acid. So let's break down what this is. Hydrochloric acid is a digestive acid that's secreted by a healthy stomach. In the practitioner field, it's abbreviated HCI. So if you ever see it in writing, it's written HCI, it's hydrochloric acid. And it aids in the breakdown of proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. It inhibits the overgrowth of bad bacteria, and it aids in the absorption of vitamins and minerals. So live nutrients are the raw materials that are necessary for the stomach's cells to produce hydrochloric acid. And these live nutrients come in the form of enzymes from foods eaten. But here's the thing. Enzymes are destroyed in temperatures of approximately 118 to 120 degrees. And so I want you to think about what I just said, that these live nutrients are the raw materials that help the stomach to produce hydrochloric acid, but those enzymes are destroyed with heat. And most of us have a diet that consists predominantly of cooked or processed foods. And so in this case, most of us are pretty deficient in hydrochloric acid because we're not giving our body the raw materials it needs to digest. The other thing is with deficiency of hydrochloric acid, it's part of degeneration. As we age, we definitely produce less of it. pregnancy, you lose the ability to produce as much. And the reason for that is you're growing another human. And this is why a lot of pregnant women experience heartburn, acid reflux, things like that. It's not the wives' tale of too much hair on a baby. It actually has a lot to do with how the body was created and what it could be deficient in during pregnancy. So there's many things that can contribute in addition to diet to hydrochloric acid deficiency. But what's important to understand is once you become deficient in hydrochloric acid, even if you do start eating a diet that consumes of more raw foods and fermented foods and less processed foods, you can still experience nutritional deficiencies because that food may not be properly digested and absorbed. And when we look at something like protein, protein requires the most stomach acid for digestion. And the ideal amount of acid in the stomach should be about 3. So let me break that down for you. On a pH scale ranging from 0, which is pure acid, to 14, which is alkaline, you really want your stomach to live between a 0 and a 3. And if it's the acidity of your stomach is 3 or less, that means you have enough acid to break down nutrients and digest things that require more acid, like protein. So if you've ever noticed that you sit down to have a steak dinner and afterwards you're just feeling really heavy, maybe you have, I hate saying this because it just grosses me out, but maybe you get the meat sweats. My brother-in-law coined that term, but I always think about him when I say that because he often says it. I should probably ship him a bottle of hydrochloric acid. But you just don't feel well after a heavy protein meal. And a lot of times it's because you don't have the necessary enzymes in your gut to break that protein down and utilize it and put it to good use, especially if you're eating a grass-fed, grass-finished organic steak. I mean, my gosh, there's so many incredible benefits that you can have from that. But if you don't have the enzymes to break it down, you don't have enough acid, then it's going to waste and worse could be causing problems. Now, another thing that actually contributes to hydrochloric acid depletion is stress. You know, it inhibits the body's ability to produce it. And with stress, I mean, I'm sorry, but if you have a breath, you experience stress. If you're walking through a cancer diagnosis yourself or with a loved one, stress is a daily occurrence and probably more often than not. Am I right? So stress can deplete the body of hydrochloric acid. Now, when there's not enough hydrochloric acid, here's where we start to see a problem is not only are you not digesting your foods, but undigested foods sit in the gut and begin to ferment and putrefy, and that's where bacteria forms. And parasites and yeast, things that we don't want. We don't want our stomach to be a fermentation product. We want our stomach to be a healthy area, space to digest and break down nutrients and send them to all of our cells to be utilized for health. One of the common forms of bacteria that can develop is H. pylori. And H. pylori is linked to stomach ulcers. It's linked to heartburn. It's actually linked to chronic illness. And so this bacteria can perforate the intestinal walls, and that increases or creates, I should say, intestinal permeability, which is also known as leaky gut syndrome. I'm sure you've heard of that, leaky gut. Or some practitioners refer to it as dysbiosis. Then what happens is now you have a leaky gut. So these undigested foods, bacteria, parasites are passing through the intestinal wall and entering the bloodstream. And the reason that this is a problem is because the protein molecules are what is passing through the permeability, that leaky gut, and getting into the bloodstream. And this triggers toxicity in the immune system because what happens is your body was created with such beautiful intelligence that it knows to recognize good from bad when it's operating properly. And so all of a sudden you have these undigested food molecules, proteins, getting into the bloodstream and your body goes, oh, hey, heck no. I almost said a bad word, but in case there's other smaller people listening, you're welcome. But your body's like, we got to stop this. So your immune system attacks these foreign invaders because undigested food proteins or molecules should not be in the bloodstream. So your immune system mounts an attack because it sees this as a pathogen. And guess what? if you don't address the underlying problem and you continue to have this intestinal permeability or what we call leaky gut syndrome because you're not addressing your digestion, here's what happens. Your body continues to attack because you continue to have these undigested molecules in the bloodstream. And here we develop what we would consider an autoimmune or chronic disease because your body now is attacking itself. And it continues to attack, and all of a sudden it loses, like any good soldier that becomes weary, that becomes tired, that's working too hard, that's working overtime, not getting enough rest, not being able to kind of reset and restore. What happens? They become delirious. They don't recognize good from bad. And in war, that's dangerous because a soldier could start accidentally pulling the trigger on his own kind. And this is what happens with your immune system when it becomes weary because it's overacting because you have this constant issue you're not addressing, it doesn't recognize good from bad anymore. And this is where we start to see autoimmune conditions or, like I said, chronic disease and illness. And so, of course, we have to be so careful with this. And when we're fighting cancer or recovering from, we already are experiencing inflammation in our body, right? It's just part of the disease and the illness. But in addition to inflammation, we're going to have histamine levels that are increased. And this will produce food and environmental allergies. So it becomes this vicious cycle that originally comes back to the idea that we needed more hydrochloric acid. So unfortunately, the symptoms of too much hydrochloric acid and too little are kind of the same. And that's why we see in conventional medicine, more often than not, a misdiagnosis. According to the Gastroenterology, the official journal of AGA Institute, the use of PPIs, which is a proton pump inhibitor, which are, you know, pharmaceuticals, you've probably heard of Nexium or Prilosec, they decrease stomach acid and actually predispose the stomach to the bacterial overgrowth, which results in more inflammation. So let me just back up for a minute. So here's what happens. You go to the doctor because you are having these symptoms. In fact, I know when my son was first diagnosed, he was actually put on a PPI as a precautionary measure. And I immediately told the doctor, no, we do not want that. Because thankfully, at this point in our life, I was already a practitioner. I had studied digestion. This was kind of my specialty. I knew that his digestive system was essential to help him fight this disease. I knew that he needed to be able to digest the proteins, the fats, the carbohydrates that we were feeding him to help fight this disease. And I knew that without stomach acid, he wouldn't be able to fight off bacteria and pathogens. And so which I would encourage you to have a conversation with your doctor if you're on a PPI, especially if you're fighting cancer, because here's the problem, is you go in with these symptoms of heartburn, acid reflux, whatever it is that's a digestive symptom, and they misdiagnose because they are not understanding this to be a problem of a lack of stomach acid. They assume it's too much stomach acid. So they put you on this medication that reduces stomach acid, or perhaps you just take a Tums and you think nothing of it. The Tums alkalizes your stomach. The proton pump inhibitors or these medications alkalize your stomach. It's increasing the alkalinity rather than increasing the acid. And what do we know happens when you don't have enough acid? Everything we mentioned above. And so it becomes this really vicious cycle resulting in more inflammation, more bacterial overgrowth, and more symptoms. And so we have to be really, really, really careful when looking at these symptoms and deciding how we're going to approach addressing the digestive system. Now, there are very few people, I would say less than 5% of people that do have too much stomach acid, but it's very, very rare. And in my practice, I've been working with clients for off and on, gosh, for 12 years. I have never come across somebody that actually produces too much stomach acid. They've all produced too little. So it does exist, I will say that. But most people do not have enough stomach acid, and that is causing all of these issues. I mentioned already that low stomach acid also results in the poor absorption of essential minerals, calcium, zinc, and magnesium. And calcium and magnesium are essential for strong bones, healthy skin, blood clotting, neuromuscular activity, fat digestion, cognitive function, signaling among cells. Like, excuse me, but those are all important when we're fighting cancer. Did you know that calcium helps lower cholesterol levels? It can actually protect against cardiovascular disease. But again, in order to digest and absorb these minerals from our food and from supplements, we have to be digesting properly. We have to, in order to digest properly, have enough stomach acid. The absorption of vitamin B12 also requires a really acidic stomach. And if you're unfamiliar with vitamin B12, it's actually really important for food digestion. It's important for the synthesis of proteins, for nerve sheaths, and the use of iron, carbohydrates, and fats. And a deficiency of B12, many of you have maybe heard that, you know, if you don't have enough B12, you're often fatigued and tired, which is very true. That's a sign of a deficiency. But also abnormal gait. So people who walk funny, it's a deficiency of B12. I know with kids that experience neuropathy during cancer treatment or after, oftentimes when we supplement them with B12, we can see improvement. Memory loss is a signal or a symptom of deficiency in B12. Depression, dizziness, moodiness, headaches. So you can see by now that literally just lacking hydrochloric acid, the process of chronic disease begins. But if we can support proper digestion by supplementing with hydrochloric acid, we will see improvement and resilience develop. And so I wanted to give you kind of that background on what is hydrochloric acid. You know, without it, what happens and why do we need it? So let me kind of break down this digestive process for you to give you a clearer picture. You know, from north to south, how should the digestive process work if things are going well? And so here's a real life example. First, what happens is a person is smelling their food during preparation. And the beautiful thing about how we were kind of orchestrated to experience food is at home, in kitchens, or at, not saying anything against restaurants, but what happens in a busy life is you show up to a restaurant, maybe you kind of smell the food cooking, but you're not sure if you do, you don't know if it's your food, it's kind of fast paced, you get your food, you eat it fast, and you leave. But when we eat slow food, and we experience it in its fullness, we're smelling it as we prepare it or as it's being prepared. And that sense of smell actually triggers enzymes in the mouth, the production of salivary enzymes, which is necessary for the first step of digestion and breaking down the food. Did you know that? So your mouth will produce salivary enzymes. This is where you hear like, oh, I'm salivating over that. Or you've seen the emoji of like the drool coming out of the mouth when you type in yum. This is a real thing because your body actually produces salivary enzymes upon the smell of food being prepared. And this is the first step of proper digestion. Then the next step would be, and remember, this is a perfect case scenario. They sit down to eat their food in a relaxed, non-stressed, parasympathetic state. They're in homeostasis, which means balance. And they're sitting around a table, kind of like you see in the Hallmark movies. Everybody's just relaxed and enjoying a nice bottle of wine that they're sharing with their beautiful meal and just slowly consuming their food. And some of you are rolling your eyes and laughing as you think about your life. And let's be real, dude, now I'm sounding like my 12-year-old. That's not every day. In fact, for many of you, that rarely happens except for Thanksgiving and Christmas. But can I encourage you to change that? Because this simple act of sitting down to eat is actually going to allow your body to produce the enzymes necessary to properly digest. Because when you are in a sympathetic state, which means stressed, your body is not focused on digestion. In fact, it turns all mechanisms that it deems unnecessary off, digestion being one of them, to focus on controlling the cortisol release because of the stress. So the second step is sitting down to eat food in a relaxed state. Then the third step is chewing their food thoroughly so that no particles are too large for the stomach. I always remind my kids, your stomach doesn't have teeth. So chew your food well. Then, after swallowing food, it enters the esophagus and moves into the stomach via the cardiac sphincter. And the stomach and a variety of other chemical just activities that are happening, kind of think of a science project, continue the mechanical breakdown of the food. And eventually, the digestive food moves into the duodenum, which is a part of your stomach, and the nutrients are absorbed and utilized. Now, remember, this is all in a healthy digestive situation. You've got, you're smelling the food being prepared. You're developing those enzymes in your mouth to break it down. You're sitting down and enjoying a slow meal with little stress. You're chewing your food thoroughly, swallowing your food, and the enzymes are being produced in your esophagus and then in your stomach. And all those nutrients are absorbed and used for your healing. But let's talk about reality. Here's what happens when there's dysfunction. And I imagine, and listen, you guys, in transparency, this was our life for a while, just in the busyness of life. This is where digestion goes wrong. We run to the office fridge. We grab our lunch. We hop into the car to run a few errands during our lunch hour. With no warning or preparation, there's no proper production of salivary enzymes. Therefore, the proteins, fats, and carbs aren't broken down. That relate to you? Perhaps you're at home, you're running a busy household, you have a child fighting cancer, and you've got three other hungry kids. So you run to the fridge, throw something in the microwave, heat it up, throw it on the table, and you are just eating off of their leftover plate. Now, the second part where things go wrong, you're sitting in traffic with less than 25 minutes to pick up dry cleaning, make a stop at the grocery store, and grab a Starbucks. You shove the food into your face while screaming at the guy in front of you to move because they're not driving fast enough. So this is the opposite of a parasympathetic. This is a stressed, non-relaxed, sympathetic state. And this is, again, causing the digestive system to shut down so it can respond to the current issue, which is the stress and the cortisol. Additionally, we're not chewing properly because we're operating under the multitask and record time mindset. And this adds to the lack of saliva production because the brain doesn't get the message to trigger a proper digestive response. Because remember, back to step one, you're not even smelling the food being prepared. And at this point, we have very little stomach acid being produced. Instead, we have a large piece of food move through the esophagus toward the stomach, which is, quote, supposed to be a very acidic environment, but it's not. Because we didn't go through those proper steps. And our body's incredible innate intelligence kicks in and goes, the stomach does not have enough acid to digest that piece of leftover steak you just took a giant chunk of. So the salivary enzymes are breaking down the nutrients. They're not there, right? They're on hiatus. They're taking a break because there's stress involved. So here's what happens. The food gets down to that sphincter and the stomach goes, no thank you to the incoming food. So in response, the pyloric sphincter located at the bottom of the stomach refuses to open up because again, your body was created with incredible intelligence and a system that when we take care of and provide with raw materials works really well. But now the sphincter is going, I am not opening up to let this piece of protein into the stomach because there's no acid to digest it. So guess what happens? A couple things. That's where you start to experience what we call acid reflux. Because remember, in the esophagus, there's acid already being released to start to break down the food as it moves through into the stomach. That sphincter should then open to release the food into the stomach. But it doesn't because of innate intelligence. It says there's not enough acid. So now you've got food in your esophagus with acid being released and you start to feel that burn, that discomfort. And then the second thing that begins to happen is that protein begins to putrefy. Fats turn rancid and carbohydrates ferment. I want you to think of if you've ever fermented anything like pickles. You see the jar on your counter for a couple of weeks and bubbles and gases are being released. That's what's happening in your stomach with improper digestion. And because the above pattern is common for most meals, the collection of rotted food in the stomach has no other place to go. So here's what happens. We now have food being continued to kind of reabsorb into the esophagus, causing burning. We have undigested protein molecules going into the bloodstream. Those gases that are being released from the putrefaction and the fermentation go and hide in our joints that can cause joint pain or fibromyalgia. And we have this scary place where food, which should nourish us, which can contribute to healing, is now not even able to be utilized because of a lack of stomach acid. Now, before you feel like doomsday over here, you know that I will always bring hope and offer a solution. So here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to grab Tums to help with that indigestion or take Prilosec, because what does it do? It contributes to the problem. It triggers an alkaline environment in the gut, not allowing you to digest and absorb. Okay? So what you're going to do instead is we're going to get to the root cause. We are going to work on increasing acidity in our gut so that we can digest and absorb these amazing nutritious foods that we're eating that can contribute to our healing. So here's my top 10 steps, because you know I will always give you tips and steps to help solve the problem. Number one, eat in a non-stressed, relaxed, parasympathetic state. You can even put your favorite relaxing essential oils in a diffuser nearby as you're preparing food or as you're getting ready to set the table so that you can start to calm down. Make dinner fun. If you have a busy schedule, prepare ahead of time. Listen, I never said real healing and real health would be easy, but it can be simple. It does take more time, but it can be done. The next thing is sit down to eat. Turn off the television. Put your phone away. Don't respond to emails and texts while you're eating. Enjoy the intentional event of eating. It should be an event. It's a beautiful time for community with your family. One of our favorite practices at dinner is to share our highs and lows of the day. We call it happy crappy Jesus. Now that sounds silly altogether, but we say, what was your happy today? Everybody takes a turn. Then we say, what was your crappy today? Everybody takes a turn. And what was your Jesus? Where did you see Jesus today? And in doing this and having conversation, it allows us to listen and build relationship and connect. And you will naturally be in a more relaxed state. Remember to chew your food thoroughly. Set your fork down between each bite. I know this is hard. Listen, I live to eat. You guys would be surprised. I'm 5'1 and a half. I like to add that half on. Some days I have the half. Some days I feel like I'm only 5'1. And about 120 pounds. I could probably eat every one of you under the table. No joke. Like, I can eat as much as my husband. I love food. And I'm not a bottomless pit. I do work out. I utilize the food, and I'm actually really intentional with the food that I eat. But all that to say, I love food so much that it is hard for me to chew my food thoroughly and to set my fork down in between meals or in between bites because I enjoy it so much. But my mom always said, chew 30 times. Try it. It's actually kind of torturous. You're like, oh my gosh, 30 times. And a lot of times the food's gone by then. But it's a good practice, especially if you're a fast eater. Determine if there's any food allergies, maybe any intolerances, because if you can remove those foods, they really aggravate digestion. They will naturally compromise any acidity in your gut. So if you know you don't do well with corn or dairy or wheat or eggs or garlic or whatever it is, remove that food. There's a weak esophagus because you've been on a PPI for a while. Maybe you take Tums all the time. I want you to try to be really careful to eliminate foods that can be an irritant, like tomatoes, coffee, citrus, spicy foods, carbonated beverages. These can all be an additional irritant to the esophagus and to the stomach. So until you've experienced healing, I would encourage you to remove those types of foods. And avoid grains while you're healing. Grains can be really difficult to digest and break down. And so while under the season of healing, I like to call it, you can eventually bring them back, don't worry. But while you're healing, remove grains. And if you're going to eat them, just make sure that they are properly prepared. I have some information on my website, and I'll link to some articles about phytic acid and how to properly prepare grains and even nuts and seeds to remove something called phytic acid that can inhibit digestion. So we'll link to that in the show notes. Now, a natural remedy that you can do to help increase acidity in the gut and help with digestion is to dilute 2 tablespoons of organic raw apple cider vinegar in a cup of room temperature water and drink it before each meal. Now, you could drink it after as well, but I think before is helpful because before is when you really want to stimulate those digestive juices. Now, if you're like me and you don't want to sip on apple cider vinegar, take it as a shot. Put 2 tablespoons in a shot glass and shoot it. Now, make sure you avoid combining proteins with sugar. This can be very disruptive to your digestive system. And here's an example. I've seen parents do this, and I know it's with good intention. And so I applaud you for the thought behind this. But I see a lot of times parents will put fruit and meat on a plate for their kids because they know their kids need the nutrients from fruit, right? But here's the problem with that. Fruit actually has its own enzymes, which is incredible. So it doesn't require enzymes, but meat requires quite a bit. So when you eat them together, you are completely wrecking your digestive system of the necessary enzymes required for the meat. It's very confused because you're eating fruit. There's no enzymes required. Fruit has its own enzymes. So it can be really disruptive. Okay. So avoid combining fruit and meat, or even proteins and sugar. Eat smaller portions. Don't overeat. Again, this is a practice. Like, you're not going to do all of this tomorrow or even your next meal, but start to kind of implement one of these steps at each meal, if not more. Enjoy your last meal at least 2 hours before going to bed. This allows your body to really step into digestion and really take all the time needed to adequately digest your food before you lay down. So our practice is this isn't every day, but we try to be done eating around 6 p.m. and we don't generally go to bed. My husband had it his way. We'd go to bed at 11. I like to be in bed by 9. So it kind of depends. Sometimes we meet in the middle around 10, but we have at least 3 hours before we go to bed after eating. And of course, the last tip that I think is essential for almost every single person, especially for a season, is to supplement with a digestive enzyme, with hydrochloric acid. And so my favorite 2 hydrochloric acid supplements are betaine HCl by Thorne. So betaine hydrochloric acid by Thorne and Terrazyme by doTERRA. I linked both of them in the show notes. The Thorne you can purchase. I have a supplement shop that allows you to get access to some of my favorite supplements at a discount. And so we'll link that below, and that's where you can get the Thorne betaine. And then we'll link the doTERRA Terrazyme as well, and being able to set you up. If you don't have a doTERRA customer account, we can help get you set up with a discount for the Terrazyme as well, 25% off. So that was a lot of information about digestion, but it's really, really important. And I encourage you to maybe go back, re-listen. If digestion is something that you really want to focus on, which I encourage all of you to focus on your digestion, especially when fighting any type of a disease, but especially cancer, because what you've learned in this podcast, hopefully so far, is how important nutrients are and how food can help heal. But if we're not digesting it properly, it can actually contribute to chronic disease. And so I hope, as always, that this gave you not only education, but it gave you the tools, resources, and hope that you need for your healing. Until next time, friends. Kelly Noel, thank you so much for taking a few moments to give us a rating and a review in iTunes. I am so thankful that you took the time to do this. Kelly shared, "I love this podcast. This topic is so needed. Thank you for the extra resources." Kelly Noel, thank you for taking the time. It really means a lot. And this allows us to reach more people and helping them thrive through cancer. So if you haven't already, please take a moment to leave us a review on the platform that you listen to our show. It would mean the world to us. And again, allow us to reach more people.